This program is brought to you by the partners of A Rood Awakening International. Help others find truth. Support A Rood Awakening International today.
In the Bible, sometimes the answer we're looking for in the book of Revelation, for example, is not found in the book of Revelation. It's found way back in Daniel, or maybe way back in Genesis. The same goes for the human body. The seemingly insurmountable problems you're experiencing in one part may have a very simple solution in another. Dr. Aaron Ernst explains how your neurological system, your gut, and what you're exposed to determine everything. Because it's the end of the sixth day, the sun has set, and this is Shabbat Night Live! Well, Shabbat Shalom, Torah fans. Welcome to Shabbat Night Live with Michael Rood. I'm your host, Scott Laird, and please welcome my co-host, the Chief Operating Officer of A Rood Awakening International, Ted Clayton.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for letting me be here with you.
Certainly, certainly. Well, you're not only the Chief Operating Officer, you used to be, speaking of health and what we're doing this month on Shabbat Night Live, you were a paramedic and a physician's assistant in
your past. For several years. Matter of fact, I even taught paramedics at the University of South Alabama in Mobile, Alabama for quite a while.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you've seen some really bizarre stuff in your day, I'm sure.
There's probably not much that I really haven't seen in my history, and I can tell you that health is one of the most precious things that we have. And my father used to always say, well, if I've got my health, I'll be in good shape for the day. And he meant that over above anything else, money, fame, anything else, just having your health is very, very important.
Indeed. And I think we mentioned last week that Michael specifically wanted something to do with health because sometimes he doesn't have his health. And right now he's struggling to get it back.
Right.
And he said, I want you guys to make sure people know that they need to keep their health and use it while they've got it.
Absolutely right.
Because
he'd love
to sit here right now and be doing some teachings, but he can't.
Absolutely. And folks, I cannot begin to tell you how important Michael thinks these teachings on health is right now. It's for this particular time and moment in time. I know it's not your usual teachings and so forth that you're used to, but please bear with us, and you may actually learn something about your own health, that things that you can do to correct things in your own health to make you a better person all the way around.
Indeed, and no one knows it better than Dr. Aaron Ernst, and here's a clip of that. Just take a look.
You need fuel. It's kind of like, hey, look, I don't like the way my car runs when I accidentally put diesel in it. I just don't like it. It doesn't work. And actually, I destroyed my car by putting diesel in it. Now I have to buy a new car. I tried to, you know, save money. The diesel was cheaper. I'm just making this up. The diesel was $3.99 a gallon and gas was $5 a gallon. So I went with the cheap stuff. But when I put the cheap stuff in my tank that's not designed for it, I destroyed it. Now, the only difference between a car and us is a car cannot self-regenerate and it can't heal. We can, and this is where it gets tough. Well, I don't understand. Can't I eat a little bit of it every so often? It's like saying, can't I have a little bit of heroin just every so often? Like, it's bad. You have to keep your diet biblically designed. And if you do that and you decrease your toxicities and you clean your microbiome out and you fix your spinal interference, self-healing abounds.
All right, well, there's Dr. Aaron Ernst, a little clip of what we're going to see tonight.
Yes.
And speaking of tonight, what day is it on the astronomically and agriculturally corrected biblical Hebrew calendar? Hey, you know what? We are into it next month. Well, I've got to turn the page here. We are into the month of Shavuot, the 11th month on the astronomically and agriculturally corrected biblical Hebrew calendar.
Scott, help us with something for just a moment.
Sure.
So many people have said, you know, I love this calendar, but sometimes it's a little confusing. How to actually do we read the calendar, and how do we know that we're on the right day on the calendar?
Oh, okay, well, yeah, it's kind of strange for some people because we have two sets of days on here. First of all, we have the days, like for example, January 15. That's where we are today, and it's the first day of the month of Shavuot. And so we see kind of these two blocks on the calendar that are kind of offset like this. And the reason why they're offset is because the very basic understanding that Hebrew days start at sunset.
Yes.
So the end of this day here starts the new day down here. So we have January 14th at sunset will be the start of the first day, for example, of the next of the Hebrew day.
Right.
So that's why it's offset, because the day starts at sunset.
Okay.
And that's why. And also there's one day, of course, that's yellow on the end here. Well, if you know anything about Hebrew thought, that's because that's Shabbat.
Shabbat.
And if we have a special day, like Passover or anything in the Feasts of the Lord, we have other yellow days. And that means this is a day where we do no work.
Yes.
And that's, as in the Bible, it's commands that, you know, on special Shabbats or high Sabbaths, as we
yes.
call them,
mm-hmm.
or the weekly Sabbath, we do no work. And that is to honor Yehovah. We're to stop and just concentrate on Him and not worry about anything else. And that's what this calendar is all about.
So that's great. So I hope that for people who are new to Torah and new to this experience, that helps you understand how to read the calendar and why the calendar is so important.
Indeed, and speaking of importance, so a lot of people, you know, these are the last days. I think there's no arguing that.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of crazy things going on. People say, okay, well, I need to look in the book of Revelation as to what's going on.
Yes.
And that's what this year's calendar is based on. We have pictures from the Revelation scroll that Michael created
mm-hmm.
On the bottom of each picture on the month, and the whole scroll is there. And then we highlight a piece of the scroll where this picture is from. And basically it's to show you a highlight of what is happening in Revelation. And this scroll basically takes you from Revelation 1:1 all the way to the end, explains it from beginning to end in order, because Revelation was not written in order.
That's right.
And that's why Michael's wife, Anna Lil, asked him to create the scroll as a birthday present for her to say, Michael, I don't get it. How does Revelation work?
How do I read the book of Revelation and understand it? And so Michael said, well, listen, these things are moving movie pictures in my mind. Let me put it out on a scroll and let everybody be able to learn it and see it as well.
Yep.
So that's why he did the scroll.
Yep, that's a bonus to have it on the calendar too,
yes.
so you know what's going on. Now, speaking of Michael, he has a brand new teaching for you.
And this is Michael Rood.
Yep. Pick up your mat and walk. This is the new teaching for the January love gift.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, is the man who was at the Pool of Bethesda.
Yes.
Couldn't get in before the water bubbled up. Michael explains all about that, too. That is not in the Bible, per se. That was just explained in the Bible as to a legend.
Yes.
Of the time.
Yes.
So that is not really what happened. That people mm-hmm. just assume that's what happened. Anyway, Michael explains all that. That's why you should get the teaching.
That's right.
And that's the January love gift for a gift of $50. Michael says, you know what? Thank you for supporting this ministry. I want to give you this teaching. It's not on YouTube. It's not anywhere else. It's not even on the app. It's just a gift to you from Michael for donating $50 or more to the ministry. And that is his gift this month. Pick up your mat and walk.
Yeah.
And talk.
If that's That's right.
And of course, this is all about when Yeshua told the man to pick up the mat and walk, mm-hmm. that he was basically putting it in the face of the Pharisees, saying, you can't tell people what to do on the Shabbat.
I tell people what
to do on the Shabbat.
Indeed.
Don't make up your own rules and say that it's for God, because it's not. I'll tell you the real deal. And that's what Yeshua came to do, right? He came to just strip away all the
yes.
junk and get back to the basics.
Indeed.
And that's what Michael does best in explaining in this teaching.
Yep. And also, for a level of $100, mm-hmm. what else could they get, Scott?
You get a really neat double barrel mezuzah that I've never seen before. So this is really neat. So usually a mezuzah, you place this on the door frame of your house,
yes.
and in behind there, you've got a little place where you can put in a piece of the Bible, usually from Deuteronomy, about
Correct.
Placing the commandments on your
doorpost. On your door frame.
And now there's two of them here. The other one is intended so you can do the same type of thing, get a little piece of paper, roll it up in there, and put your family's favorite Bible verse or your favorite prayer or something, you put it in there. And again, place it on your doorframe.
That's right.
And that's what you get both of these for a donation of $100, you get that. And then for a donation of $300 or more, well, we'll leave that for what is coming next.
That's
so
right.
you'll hear about that in the commercial break we're just about to take now. So Ted, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, so our neurological system, our gut, and what we are exposed to all play a part in how disease develops and reverses. Dr. Aaron Ernst explains each and how you can take control and be a more effective witness for the Almighty. Stay tuned.
When we are healed of our past and the truth is given to us, we are also given a responsibility to pick up our mat and walk, to rise up and tell everyone what Yeshua has done for us. Using the story of the lame man at the Pool of Bethesda as a shadow picture of our own salvation,
we'll
Michael Rood motivates us to stand up, follow Yeshua's commandments, and walk away from man-made religious rules.
I know, I'm preaching to the choir, but that's what I'm doing. I love to tell the story. I love to preach to the choir because you are gonna sing the song now. I'm gonna sing it as long as I can. I'm gonna put this out as long as I can, but you take it and you find somebody to teach it to this week.
Pick up your mat and walk is both a challenging and empowering message to take a step of faith, even if we've been spiritually lame our entire lives. But the only way to watch it is to receive it as our gift. Donate a $50 love gift and we'll send you Pick Up Your Mat and Walk on DVD or Blu-ray. Or for a donation of $100, we'll send you the teaching plus a pewter double chamber mezuzah. Put traditional Torah verses in one side and your family's favorite prayer or verse in the other. Post it on your doorframe as a declaration of your faith. Or as a special offer for a donation of $300, we'll send you Pick Up Your Mat and Walk, the double chamber mezuzah, plus a pocket-sized traditional Torah scroll written in Hebrew, and a decorative stained glass box with three anointing oils, frankincense, myrrh, and rose of Sharon. These gifts are available only in January and supplies are limited. Make your donation today and receive the $50 gift, the $100 gift, or the $300 gift. Remember, this offer ends January 31st and supplies are limited. Call now to receive your gifts, 888-766-3610, or get your gifts online at monthlylovegift.com.
And I needed to get a perspective of where the American Christians were at.
The starting point for me is to focus on the prophecies that everyone agrees are messianic prophecies. And once we do that, I think we can get a better understanding of what it is Jews expect today, what they expected 1,000 years ago, and what even the disciples of Yeshua were expecting according to the New Testament.
If you like what you see on Shabbat Night Live, you'll love the bonus episodes, now available only on the MichaelRood.tv app. These bonus episodes dive deep to give you more serious study, cutting-edge content, and righteous raves you won't find anywhere else. It's Michael Rood Uncut. Sign up now to get the MichaelRood.tv app free for 14 days. It's everything Michael Rood, plus all new bonus episodes you won't find anywhere else. Sign up to watch now at MichaelRood.tv.
The night of the Last Supper, Yeshua took bread and he blessed the Most High. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And he said, this represents my body, which will be broken for you. As often as you do it from now on, understand this has always represented my broken body. And often as you do it in remembrance of what I'm about to do for you. Then he took his cup, and he told his disciples after he blessed it, after he blessed the Most High, and he said, Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam, Borei Pri Hagafen. Blessed are you, Yehovah, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth and has created the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua said, you divide my cup of among yourselves. And as he passed his cup around and they poured a bit of his into their cups, it got back to him empty and he said, I will not drink a drop of the fruit of the vine till I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. But as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Not only that I will pay for the broken covenant, that I will pay for the transgression, that I will renew the covenant in my blood, but also remember that I am waiting for you at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that is when I will drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Until then, Shabbat Shalom.
We are fearfully and wonderfully made, but do we really understand just how closely our bodies are modeled to the biblical narrative? One person knows that, and he is our guest today. Please welcome Dr. Aaron Ernst. Dr. Aaron, welcome to The Word on Wellness.
Yes, thank you.
Now, your credentials, there's many letters behind it. You're not just a chiropractor, so I want you to explain all that you have behind you.
So, the chiropractic degree is a doctorate in chiropractic. The LMP is a licensed medical practitioner. The DSCP is a degree in basically biblical healing and health coaching, functional medicine, etc.
Biblical healing. Okay,
yes.
So you are well ingrained in how the Bible works, as how it relates to the Bible or to the body.
Yeah.
That is.
Like the greatest code of the book for health that we have, so.
Wow. Well, you know, we are going to get into something that you taught me before we came on the cameras here, and that is the three steps to health.
Yes.
They are the neurological, microbiome, and global toxicity. And as you explained to us while we were planning this episode, that before a lot of modern technology came along, chiropractics, just adjusting someone's spine could heal people of some pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, so you know, technically the profession of chiropractic was founded in the late 1800s, 1898. And it actually came as a sort of vision to this one individual. His name was D.D. Palmer. And even the name chiropractic has a root in the Bible because it's kairos, praktos, so Christ-like practice. Hmm. It's one of the only surviving natural alternative techniques that actually does still lay hands on people to help them to heal. So we're biblically rooted just in our name. And then in that nature, back in the 1800s, you know, we didn't have the toxins of today. We didn't have the hybridization of wheat. You know, most people's toxins might have been they spent a little too much time at the bar that night. But in the world of chiropractic, in the beginning, people were getting their hearing back, their vision back. There's studies showing that the flu epidemic of 1918, the Spanish flu, it was wiping out, 70-80% of the population. The individuals that got chiropractic care in the United States during that time had a massively higher survival rate than those getting medicine of that time. Mm. So tuberculosis going away, hearing coming back, vision restored, and our profession fought traditional medicine. So we're some of the only surviving doctors who aren't doctors
in
the world of self-healing.
So maybe some people watching this may not understand that. Somebody can say, how did someone get over TB by getting their back adjusted?
Yeah, so and how did their hearing come back?
Yeah.
So I mean, if you break it down, it's a simple process of the fact that when we are made, and we're just talking basic science, sperm cell, egg cell come together to become one, just like when you get married, mm-hmm. and that one cell turns into you, 70 trillion cells they estimate today. So during that process of duplication, the first organ that is formed is not the heart, it's not your liver, it's not your lungs like a lot of people think, it's actually the brain and spinal cord. Hmm. So that ball of mass of you turns into this tube, and off that tube grows your organs. So if you think about it, your heart doesn't know how to beat unless the brain tells it how to. You can't breathe unless your brain tells you when and how. So chiropractically, we say, well, if it's the first organ to form, it's the most important, so we need to pay attention to it. Now, your brain is encased 100% in bone, so it's also the only organ that's encased fully in a bony structure, so it must be important under that aspect. And the spinal cord is like a root, almost like an extension of the brain into the body. And the nerves are like wires that connect to the organs to tell them what to do and how to do it. So chiropractically, we say if your spine is out of alignment or if your skull has pressure or irritation to it, then the signal is not sent properly, and that could create weakness to your immunity, an interference in function. If you can't hear, possibly there's just a nerve compression. So if you reset the nerve, you might be able to hear again. If your immune system is weak and you can't fight off the flu or illnesses, then you get adjusted, the power is turned on, the electrical current is reconnected, and the organs perform their healthy function, which is what they're supposed to do.
Okay, so this is like a tree with all the different roots.
You could think of it that way. So the roots would be the brain, mm-hmm. and the trunk would be the spinal cord, the branches are the nerves, and the leaves are your organs. So let's use the tree analogy. If a tree has leaves that are falling and dying before they should, Medicine would say, well, let's spray paint them green and stitch them back onto the branch. And there, look how beautiful that tree is. Okay, but we would say something's wrong. Maybe the soil is contaminated, or one of the roots is damaged, or the trunk is interfered somehow. There's an infection, there's an infestation. The tree is supposed to be beautiful. The leaves are falling. Let's find the cause. And then here's the beautiful thing. A tree is alive, so if we fix the cause, what will happen? The tree will grow new leaves. Mm. Now, can you grow new organs? Well, the research is saying they can be regenerated. Now, if you remove an organ, it's not going to just spontaneously come back. But if you have a damaged kidney or a thyroid that's not fully functional or a heart that's off balance, but it's still inside of you, then it can actually come back.
Mm, amazing.
Yeah.
You know, another amazing thing is how the Bible is connected to even just the way the spine works. And we're going to get into a few other things as we go along today. But one thing I want to bring up, first of all, is this the numbers in the Bible. So 7, 12, five. All these numbers we know are very significant in the Bible. For example, just before the cameras came on, we were talking about Elijah told Naaman to go dip in the Jordan seven times.
For his psoriasis to go away. So for him to heal, he had to do a seven cycle cleansing process. And it wasn't that the river necessarily healed him. It was more his understanding of, okay, if I'm going to follow the rules and I'm going to do what I'm being told by a prophet, I'll do what I'm told, I'll follow the instructions, I dip seven times. He got healed because of his commitment to his faith and to listening to the prophet, not because the water actually healed him. Does that make sense?
Right, yes. Yeah. And same thing with the Israelites going around Jericho seven times.
Yeah.
Yeshua had 12 disciples.
Yes.
All of these things. So 7, 12, and 5 is also biblical, maybe on a lesser sense, but 7 and 12 and 40, you know, all of these things are obviously very biblical numbers. Yeah. And these relate specifically to the spine. And you have brought in a spinal model
here. There's a model, yes.
So how do these work, these numbers, with the spine?
So here's what's unique, okay? So we talked about the brain and the skull. Well, your neck has 7 bones in it. And then the middle part of your back has 12 bones in it. And the lowest part of your back has 5 bones in it. So we're made with these very specific structures that protect the nerves and allow our organs to heal. And the numbers are significant to completion, perfection, and grace. Mm. So 7 being complete, 7 days to make the earth, 7 laps around the wall like you described, 7 dips in the River Jordan. 12 is a unique one because we had 12 disciples, we have 12 tribes of Israel. There are, I think, 12 minor prophets, if I remember right. The idea is 12 is sort of a completion, it's a totality, it's a perfection. And then 5 is grace, you know, so things that we get by the grace of God that we can't earn, we can't work for, but we just get them. And so I look at your health as that's the grace. You're given this amazing gift for the ability to heal. How much of your body should it heal? All of it, the totality, the 12, and it will be complete when the brain can get into the body. So it's completion from the source through the spine, over the nerves, to all parts of the body, made complete. And now we have to talk about the alignment then. Because if these 7 bones are in your neck, well, if they're this way, then they're not aligned properly, so the nerves are compressed, so you're not perfect, you're not complete. Same thing from the side, it has to have a curve in it, and the curve needs to be at a specific angle because of mirror image creation. So the Bible says specifically you're made in God's image. Well, the spine needs to be a mirror image. The curve in your neck needs to match the opposite curve in your upper back, which needs to match the opposite curve in your low back, and they're exactly the same, 45 degrees each. So if the spine is out of alignment in your neck, but you have curves in your mid and low back, you're not in mirror image, so you can't be like God and heal, because the mirror image is we are technically a God-like creation. We have that power in us. And you know, one of my favorite verses is, you know, in the Bible they say when Jesus left that greater will be the things that you do than what I've done. And I don't know about you, but I still haven't walked on water yet. And I would like to say I've helped people to be resurrected and I've brought people back to life, but not in the method that Christ has done it, but indirectly through the art of chiropractic and the functional techniques. We help people to heal themselves.
Hmm. And that's the essence of what you do, is teaching people how to heal themselves, not depending on the doctor to spray paint your leaves back on.
And but see, that's, and that's the thing. So, you know, medically, we look at the body as if it was parts. You know, somehow it just came to be, and some parts you don't need anymore. You know, there's even thoughts to say, like, what is an appendix for? It's this rudimentary old organ from yonder year, and we can just take it out with no big deal. Gallbladder, for example. I mean, think of all the women who have had their gallbladders taken out. Oh, it's no big deal. You don't need a gallbladder. It's like, wait a second. Obviously, it was there for a reason. And we're learning now that certain organs that we used to think you can take out with no problems actually create massive issues. So we're not a parts-style person. And if we think we can just take an old part out and put a new part in, or let's just replace your hip, or let's put a new heart inside of you, and now you're healthy and you're well, well, that is such a skewed man's view of medicine, in my opinion, because very clearly it says in the Bible that if we keep ourselves clean, if we rebuild our temple, it's where the Holy Spirit resides, it will remain forever. And though our physical body can't remain forever, our spiritual body can. And what we want to do is bring that spiritual power of heaven's health to us here on this earth so that we can physically be well, but also be an example and a mission statement to other people, in my opinion.
And trying to remain as whole as possible is the key to that. I know a holistic dentist friend of mine has shown me, I didn't realize this. You know how iridology shows in your iris?
Through the eye,
It's sort of like a map of the body that shows that, you know, the top of the eye represents your head, and the bottom represents your gut, et cetera. And incidentally, around the whole of the eye is the gut. The gut is wrapped around everything.
That's
and we're gonna get into that a little bit later on today, but he showed me that in the teeth, that this dentist friend of mine, that every tooth has a neurological connection to different
organs
of the body.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So that if your eye tooth is messed up, that you could affect your liver, for example. That's probably not the right connection.
Well, true, but not just that. That because the teeth have nerves, and if you put something in that tooth, so an amalgam filling, or you put a cap or a crown on it, or you jam a root stem down as a root canal, you interfere with the nerve function of that tooth, and because the nerve function mirrors the organ function, if you root canal your thyroid tooth, which there is a thyroid tooth, then you can see typically people with thyroid problems have issues in those teeth. People with gastric issues have issues with the gastric tooth. People with breast cancer have issues with the breast tooth. And so it's a correlation like a map. And basically every part of your body's been mapped out. There's iridology, there's reflexology for the feet, there's the spinal maps. I mean, we are such an amazing creation. I doubt God would say, I'm only gonna make one map. I think everything on our body is a map.
Let's explore that map for a second. So the spine, I think that's what most people are most interested that you've shown so far.
Yeah.
So are there places in the spine? Of course there are. Maybe you can explain a few. Like if people have headaches all the time, what's going on in
the
spine?
Oh my gosh, yes. So again, it's not only just mirror image in its number, but each nerve controls a different portion. So the analogy I use a lot with my clients and patients and when I do education like this is, think of this as a fuse box. Okay, so here in the Carolinas, Duke Energy supplies power. So that has to come into your house through a main line, and then you have your fuse box. And the purpose of the fuse box is to distribute that power to all parts of the house. So I want you to think of this as the box that controls your organs and your body. So if you have a fuse that is thrown and the alignment is off, then the nerve is not firing properly, and so that portion of your body cannot work. So back to the analogy, if this was the dishwasher switch in the garage and you know the fuse is blown, well, there's nothing wrong with the dishwasher, but it doesn't work. So if I hire a mechanic and say, something's wrong with my dishwasher, tell me what's wrong with the dishwasher, the mechanic will come and look at it and he's gonna say, it's fully functional. There's just no power going to it. And this makes common sense when you use that analogy. But if I say the reason your heart is not working properly is because the nerve to your heart is not functional, because one of your fuses has been blown, then we start to doubt that, oh, there's no way it can be that simple. Well, it is just that simple. Reset the switch, open the nerve, brain says, oh, there you are, heart, work this way now. And that's the chiropractic philosophy. Every nerve in your body controls portions. Sinus, thyroid, heart and lungs, liver, spleen, pancreas, gallbladder, intestines, kidney, reproductive tissues. If there's a part of your body, it has to be controlled by this. Unfortunately, we know it because what happens when you damage it? If I damage the top of the cord, like Christopher Reeves did when he broke his atlas bone falling off a horse, every square inch of his body stopped working. Mm. He had to have a pacemaker. He had to have people push insulin so his sugars didn't go through the roof. If I damage it down here, though, let's say I blow a disc in my back and I crush this nerve, well, yes, I'll have sciatica and my toes will be numb, but my organs still work. So it's a map, just like iridology and everything else. The spine will tell you which organs are not working based upon the alignment issues we see in it.
So if someone has even something as they think maybe is very minor, like a heart murmur or something like that, could that be a spinal issue?
It is a spinal issue. Mm. It has to be a spinal issue because, again, the heart will not know how to murmur unless the brain is sending the wrong signal. Mm. So a healthy signal from the brain is a healthy rate, rhythm, pulse, and pressure. A murmur is where we have an issue with not only just rhythms and rates, but also functionality of the actual valves of the heart. So the muscles of the heart are weak, so they can't close the valves properly. So it has to be neurological in that instance. But that would have been in the 1890s. Now today, possibly it's the microbiome, or possibly it's the toxicity that we'll talk about. That could also create the murmur or the heart issue or whatever people are dealing with.
But we have a few minutes left. We have two other topics to cover, which we're going to cover in the next segment. But we want to get into that. What do we start that, first of all? So the microbiome, this is the second step to health. And this is what you call the second brain. What is the microbiome and why is it a second brain?
Well, your microbiome, by definition, is your bacterial relationships within your intestines. So do you have a healthy level of bacteria or do you have an unhealthy level? Or are there infections like viruses or parasites or even mold? So the living critters in your gut are called your microbiome.
And there's good critters and
bad
critters.
There's good and bad, just like there's good and bad cholesterol. So the microbiome is a second brain because the Human Microbiome Project, which was after the Human Genome Project, found out that it's not our genes that determine our sickness, it's the epigenetics of how those genes are expressed. And here we are in 2020 and we've discovered, well, the epigenetics are the bacteria in your gut. Hmm. Their functionality makes your body do things genetically. They turn genes on and off. So they're doing studies with diabetic mice and they're changing the microbiome, diabetes gone. Hmm. They're doing obese mice and doing fecal transplants, changing the bacterial relationship of their colon, obesity gone.
And epigenetics by definition, epi meaning above that.
Yeah,
above
so you have a gene, and maybe the gene is defective, but it doesn't mean you get cancer or heart disease or diabetes because the gene has to be turned on or off. A healthy microbiome, turn the gene off. A healthy spine, turn the gene off. A clean body, gene off. Now, bad gene, bad spine, bad gut, bad toxins, or the gene will express the disease and medicine will say, well, you're doomed for life and meds for the rest of it.
So just like the analogy you use with the spine and the fuse box, this is where you'd want to turn the fuse off. You'd want to turn off the gene
by turning on the spine and by fixing the microbiome. Now, the other thing with the microbiome is we know that it's also connected to the integrity of the intestine. So there's this common phrase that a lot of functional doctors use called a leaky gut. But the gut leaks when the microbiome is interfered with. And that leak leads to global pandemia in the body because of viruses, bacteria, and toxins getting in the bloodstream that should never be there. The bowels are supposed to keep things tight and bound to the toilet. But if those things, the crud, gets into your blood, then your immune system wreaks havoc going, well, what do I got to do with all this? So if you have to heal from a heart murmur, but you're constantly fighting viruses and bacteria and parasites that are leaking into your blood, your body says, well, the heart can murmur still because this is going to kill us if we don't clean the blood. And if it's constantly leaking, your immune system is diverted to cleaning the blood. And the heart says, well, what about me? And the brain says, not right now. And that's the problem. If we clean the microbiome out, the immune system turns back on and the brain says, hey, fix the heart now. Fix the bad hip. Get the arthritis out of the hands or the neck. But it won't do it if the microbiome is interfered with.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, we are talking with Dr. Aaron Ernst about all things in the body and how it relates to the Bible. And if you're enjoying Dr. Ernst, you can thank yourself because you are our only sponsor on Shabbat Night Live. We have no corporate sponsors. You are it. So if you are enjoying this, if you're getting something out of this, you just wait until the next segment. There's really going to be some things you're going to enjoy there. But it's thanks to you that we can bring Dr. Aaron Ernst Inn. And so we want to encourage you to support Shabbat Night Live, and we're going to give you a couple of minutes to do that. And thank you for your support of Shabbat Night Live. Before the break, we were talking with our guest, Dr. Aaron Ernst, about leaky gut. And can leaky gut come as a result of, during the break, we were talking about stress. Can stress cause that?
So yes, stress can cause anything, really. I think the key thing for those of you watching is to know there's a good stress, which no one talks about, use stress.
What is use stress?
It's the stress that you apply to your body that brings about an improvement. The classic example that you're gonna say, oh, I see what you mean, is exercise. Mm. Okay, so exercise is stress. You have to physically move your body, and actually, they've discovered that when you're working a muscle out, you damage it. You tear it apart, you rip muscle fibers, and if that stress wasn't present, the body would not regrow the muscle tissue to make your muscles bigger and stronger. So we need some stress in our life. Then there's the negative versions of stress, and those categorically are broken down into three subtypes. You have chemical, you have physical, and then you have the mental and emotional stress. Now, of the three of them, the easiest to fix is physical and chemical. The emotional stresses, sometimes that requires you to get right with yourself or possibly get closer to God and have revelation as to why are you feeling the way you feel and why did that hurt you as much as it hurt you and why does it really matter? That's hard but doable. Physical stresses, you know, slips, falls, bumps, bruises, car accidents, bangs. Chemical stress, diet, food, beverages, drugs, both kind, if you know what I'm talking about. So stress is definitely gonna be a big play in our ability to heal. And stress can cause damage to your spine. It can cause damage to the microbiome. But mostly the microbiome stressors are the emotional and the more chemical-based. So, you know, they talk about this idea that you have a gut feeling. You know, go with your gut. Mm-hmm. What they talk about is actually, that is a hormonal reaction that takes place in the intestines. New research is suggesting serotonin, epinephrine, norepinephrine, and dopamine are not actually made in the brain. They're made in your second brain. And so all those healthy hormones we need to feel elated and happy and rewardful are produced in the intestines, and they travel up through the enteric nerve system. It's the vagal parasympathetic systems. So here comes the spine again. The nerves are traveling up with all those healthy hormones to the brain, but if your spine is out of alignment, then it won't get into the brain. And so we have depression, anxiety, worry, regret, doubt. And you know, medically they say, well, just pop a pill and it'll make you feel better. Well, you still have to swallow it, and it still has to get into your intestines, and it still has to be absorbed, and it still has to get up into your brain. So what we would say is we need to identify the stress. And the thing today is most people have all three and sometimes even more. You know, so it's a challenge, but you can test for them. You can test the spine for stress with simple things like x-rays or MRIs or CTs. You can check the microbiome by doing urine profiles and sometimes even stool analysis and things to that effect. So if we find the stress, and we know what kind it is, then we can develop treatment programs and counseling programs and coaching programs to say, well, here's what you need to deal with. You know, go fix this. And what you'll often see is things improve, their health improves, and that's a part of the self-healing concept.
You ever have someone come in and they feel they're just like this, you know, they're just all tensed up. And do you ever take one look at them and go, you know, your problem is not physical or emotional or your food or anything. Are you right with God?
Yeah, so no, you're absolutely correct. And that's the hardest part for a lot of us to recognize, because I think so many of us will say, well, the reason I'm so tired is because I, and they use external environmental aspects, work, stress at home, and they use them as excuses as to why they don't have to change their life. Mm. So they'll say, well, I'm this way because I had a bad night and my boss yelled at me. Well, I had a bad night and my boss yelled at me and I'm not that way. Or my wife and I got in an argument and that's why I'm so tense. Well, I got in an argument with my wife and I'm actually quite relaxed. So I don't understand. It doesn't work that way. So yes, we have to come to the realization that we are in control of our environment. We're in control of our response to the environment. And we're actually in control of our health. Whereas unfortunately, we're being told and programmed by conventional medicine, oh, no, you have no control over your health. It's your family history, it's your genes, your diet doesn't really matter. I mean, eat well, but you can go off diet if you want. There's no connections between sugar and cancer and heart disease and diabetes, when in fact there is.
You know, I find it funny that a term we used in the last segment, epigenetics,
yeah.
above.
Yeah.
We need to be looking for all things in our health above.
Above. Well, it goes that way because right? honestly, the highest thing we can go to is God. And,
yeah.
you know, when we look at it from the aspect of he is the author and creator of everything, well, he made stress. Mm-hmm. So if we always look at stress as something bad, then you have to say, well, then something God made is bad, which would violate the whole principle. So like I have this struggle that people say medically, well, the sun causes cancer. And I'm like, it's not possible. It's just not. It's a God-made entity, energy, light, and nothing God makes can make something bad. Nothing God does can be incorrect. So how can the sun cause cancer? Let me give an analogy. Well, now what we've learned is, no, the sun doesn't cause cancer. The chemicals you put on your skin to prevent yourself from sunburning is what causes the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is doing its job. It's actually energizing you. Recently, they found that we have photoreceptors in our skin for light. So like plants, we do draw energy from the sun. So if I slather myself with all these chemicals so I don't burn, mm-hmm. then the chemicals get absorbed in, they affect the microbiome, they increase our toxicity, that's a stress, and then our body loses the ability to heal, so then we end up with skin cancer, not because we were in the sun too much, but because we actually chemically toxified our body, we destroyed our microbiome, and wherever the cancer is usually where the nerve stress is. So if it's on your face, it's usually cervical. If it's in your gut, it's your lower back. If it's in your breast, it's because of your mid back. Because again, it's a map and it shows us where are you healing or where are you not.
Interesting. You know, another piece of that skin cancer puzzle is what you eat. If you destroy the food, the microbiome, your body yes. is not prepared to deal with the sun's rays, to convert yes. it, to do its job and all
well,
that type of thing.
And if we have time, I want to talk about diet real quick. Because
yeah,
everybody always says, like, well, what am I supposed to eat? Well, the Bible clearly says that human beings are designed to eat fruit that has seeds, plants that have seeds, and that's pretty much it. Now, this was before the fall, though, so of course, you know, actually before the fall, there was actually, you're just supposed to eat fruit of the trees.
Yeah, Genesis 1:29.
So that's it, so just fruit.
There was no talk of hunting
no,
or fishing or anything.
Because everything was provided, and all the trees provided all the food that Adam and Eve needed, and trees typically produce fruit. Apples and mangoes and mm-hmm. kiwis and papayas and all this kind of stuff.
Pine trees.
Yes, pine nuts, which is a fruit of that. Yeah. So now we had the fall of man. It still didn't say eat meat. It said now you must eat of the toils of the land. So meat doesn't come off of a stalk that you plant. That's an animal. Mm-hmm. It even says the animals are supposed to eat the fruits and the trees and the vegetables and things like that. So it wasn't until the flood and Noah that we started to eat meat. And I don't know that it actually clearly says, maybe it does, that we're supposed to eat meat, but I think, this is my personal interpretation, the only reason we ate meat was the earth was completely void and there were no plants to produce fruits. And so meat was like a substitute temporarily for us to get through until the earth could reproduce the plants and the fruits and the seeds that we should be eating. I'm not saying don't eat meat, because we talked about that, like that so many people misget and misunderstand the idea of vegetarianism, veganism. I think the base, the bulk, the 80% of our diet should be plant sourced.
Mm-hmm.
So plant proteins, plant fats, plant carbohydrates. Then we can say, okay, the next 20% is, you know, animal-based, clean animal-based products. And that's where we can then talk about, okay, well, what's the difference between the beef I buy at Bilo versus the beef I buy at Whole Foods or an organic. So we have to talk about that, the cleanliness of our
food. Let's do that, because there's a big difference now. You and I talked when we were getting the makeup on in the makeup room over here that
yeah.
that it used to be that people ran to veganism even just 10 years ago because
yeah.
you couldn't buy a grass-finished beef
yeah.
at Walmart, and now you can.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And that is a completely different animal with completely different makeup, just as what we eat
yeah.
changes our microbiome,
yeah.
it changes their bodies,
yes.
and if we're eating their bodies, their meat.
Yeah, yeah.
That
so this
us.
And this actually opens up the third way of self-healing, addressing our toxicities, you know? So if you're eating meats and it's conventionally produced, a lot of conventional meats are fed corn and soy and wheat and even candy. If you don't believe me, look it up. They feed some cows Skittles and candy corn and stuff like that. It makes them fat. And we don't buy meat by the slice, we buy it by the pound. So the heavier I can make that animal, the more, as a farmer, I can make by selling that animal. Now, the problem with that is those fats are completely denatured. They're different than what God intended that fat to be in that animal. Cows, as an example, are supposed to eat grass, period. They're not supposed to eat corn. You won't ever find a cow just randomly walking up to a cornfield and munching on the stalks. It always goes after the grass. Now, we said, well, the grass doesn't make it very fat. It's really tough and it's lean, it's just like gnarly. So, hey, if we put corn in their diet, all of a sudden it softens their meats and it tastes better, it's fattier, it's marbled, it looks beautiful. And I hate to say it, but some restaurants are like, well, we serve corn-fed beef. It's like you should run away from that place because it's dangerous. Also because of the modifications of corn and that they're sprayed very heavily with pesticides. So if you eat meat that is conventionally produced or farmed for fish, for example, where they're throwing pellets of soy into the tanks or now the ocean, but yet guarded tanks in the ocean.
Like netted
areas. Yeah,
they net
off sections of the ocean. Because people were like, well, I want fish that comes from the ocean. So see, the food industry says, all right, well, we'll just put the tank in the ocean then. So it's still farmed, they're just using the ocean to farm it. Mm. So the idea is you need to just eat real food. So if you're gonna eat beef, grass-fed, grass-finished, why finished? Well, unfortunately, again, the food industry said, well, a lot of people want grass-fed, so what if we feed it grass for all of its life except for the last 90 days, and then we bulk it up on corn the last 90 days? It still was grass-fed, but it's not finished on grass. Now you have to be very specific. So grass to start, grass to finish. Fish, right? Wild caught out in the ocean eating plankton and seaweed and other fish. So
is that going to be more expensive? Yeah, but it's worth it.
Yes, but now though, not so much. I mean, 10 years ago, yes, you know, a pound of ground grass-fed green or grass-finished beef was, you know, $25. Now you can get it for $5 or $6 or $7 a pound.
So what's the difference now? So people say, okay, well, why? What difference does it make to my gut? Does it alter my gut if I eat one cow versus the other?
Yes, because of this, okay? So the fats found in a conventional corn-fed cow are extremely inflammatory. The omega-6 and 9 and 3 ratios are off balance. And again, everything in nature is perfect and in balance. So if I take an animal and I feed it its food that is not designed for it, and by the way, we're gonna talk about we are animals and we have a design for food, and if you eat opposite foods, you're going to get sick. So I take this cow and I feed it food it's not supposed to be fed, it gets fat, and it tastes good, and it sells well, but it's full of inflammatory fat. So we eat the inflamed fats, we become inflamed. Inflammation is the cause of 98% of all disease. Nerve inflammation, gut inflammation, toxic inflammation. So then your microbiome says, what is this? This is not a cow the way I was programmed to digest this, so it has to work extra hard, rip it apart. What do I do with all the inflammation? Well, I'll try to hide it in fat cells. Mm. So then we gain weight, and we don't understand because we say, well, I went vegan, and I'm gaining weight, or I eat really good. I don't eat a lot of meat products, and I eat a lot of plant products, but I'm gaining weight, or I have this disease. I have patients who say, I don't understand. I'm a vegetarian and I have heart disease. How is that even humanly possible? Well, meat doesn't cause heart disease. The wrong kinds of fats cause heart disease. Too much sugar causes heart disease. I hate to say this. A lot of vegetarians and vegans eat a lot of sugar. So we gotta watch out for sugar, not fat. We have to keep ourselves eating foods that are low in carbohydrates, moderately low in protein, but really high in healthy fats, because those heal the body. We're made of fat. Mm-hmm. Our cells are made of fat. If we don't eat what we're made of, we can't repair ourselves.
So when people say, well, how am I supposed to eat a lot of fat if I like vegetarian foods? Well, that's easy.
Plant
avocados,
fats.
Right?
I mean, yes.
For one.
Olives, avocados, nuts and seeds, hemp. I mean, hemp is an exceptional fat. There's hemp seed oils. There's even chia and chia seed oils, flax and flax seed oils. But you know what they'll say is, oh, I don't like the way it tastes. Well, get over it. Your body needs fuel. It's kind of like, hey, look, I don't like the way my car runs when I accidentally put diesel in it. I just don't like it. It doesn't work. And actually, I destroyed my car by putting diesel in it. Now I have to buy a new car. I tried to, you know, save money. The diesel was cheaper. I'm just making this up. The diesel was $3.99 a gallon and gas was $5 a gallon. So I went with the cheap stuff. But when I put the cheap stuff in my tank that's not designed for it, I destroyed it. Now, the only difference between a car and us is a car cannot self-regenerate and it can't heal. We can. And this is where it gets tough. Well, I don't understand. Can't I eat a little bit of it every so often? It's like saying, can't I have a little bit of heroin just every so often? Like, it's bad. You have to keep your diet biblically designed. And if you do that and you decrease your toxicities and you clean your microbiome out and you fix your spinal interference, self-healing abounds. Hmm. And the issue that I have with the way we're approaching health today is you go to a medical doctor because you have high blood pressure, cholesterol, or diabetes, and you say, I want help. They give you medications which only aggravate these three pillars that I'm talking about, these three steps to health. All medications are toxic no matter what it is. But what about over-the-counter Tylenol, aspirin, Advil? That's safe. A four-year-old could buy it if they want to. Well, take the whole bottle today and what happens? You're gonna be sitting next to Jesus soon and he's gonna say, why did you do that? Like, I don't understand why you just swallowed 40 aspirin at once. They're very toxic, they're very dangerous, and even though they're over-the-counter, they still cause problems. Prescriptions are even worse because they have to be regulated. So if you take a pill to get well, you're actually making yourself sick because you're making yourself more toxic. Medications destroy your microbiome, they punch holes in your intestines, and they shut your nerve tissues off. So we only manage disease, we don't reverse it.
Mm. So really, when we're taking medications, it's affecting everything we've talked about so far, about the global toxicity of your body, your microbiome, your neurological pathways, everything.
So the challenge I have today is people take medications because they want to feel well. They eat what they're told is a good diet, high in grains, which is not good, mostly because grains have been genetically modified. So we as human beings say, well, we want the wheat to be better. We want more kernels per stalk. So we hybridized and genetically modified foods to make them our way, not God's way. So here you eat this piece of bread as a whole grain bagel, and you have your low-fat cream cheese or whatever, your oatmeal with low-fat milk. All of that is like poison to the human body because that's not food. Hmm. I hate to say it. Pizza is not food. It's a hybridized wheat base with genetically modified tomato sauce with recombinant DNA cheese that you eat and your body goes, what is this? It's poison. But see, you guys sometimes think that's food. So we have to eat what is defined as real food. We have to clean the damage out from all the foods we ate that aren't food, let the microbiome heal. Fasting's a good way, if we can talk about that. And you get your spine checked by a structural functional chiropractor, because unfortunately a lot of chiropractors are pain-based traditional medical chiropractors. Where do you hurt? I hurt here. How do you feel now? I feel great. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about functionality, alignment, neurological positioning, more on the holistic side of structural, let the body heal by aligning it back into the way it was originally designed. Get the mirror image back and you'll heal yourself.
Now, we might have to get into fasting in another bonus.
We'll just throw it out there. Fasting is a really good way to heal.
Okay.
Really good way to heal.
Well, before we go, we wanted to get into one little thing here is that there's a book that you brought out called The God Code.
Yes.
Written by Greg Braden.
Yes.
And he says that God's name in Hebrew is written into
our DNA.
Explain that.
So you really need to read the book because if I only have a minute, there's no way I'm going to describe it. But in essence, if you take the base pairs of DNA, so guanosine and adenine and all the base pairs, and you lay them out by looking at a gene and you translate them into the Hebrew texts. So this specific gene equals this specific number. Our DNA reads over and over and over again God's name. Mm. It also has portions where it says in you, made of you. So our DNA is like a text. It's like written words that can live forever because human beings can transfer their genetic information as we, you know, replicate ourselves and populate the earth. So this code is our DNA. Now, here's the problem. You eat genetically modified foods that the DNA has been altered. Well, now you could potentially alter your DNA and you no longer read God's name. You read man's name. Bad idea.
Mm. Well, that should be enough to read the book. And Dr. Aaron Ernst, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
I want to give you an opportunity because you are based in Charlotte,
yes.
But you can help people all over the world. You have folks in Israel, Texas,
Canada,
California,
yes.
Canada, wherever. How can people get a hold of you to start on the road to wellness?
So the easiest way is to just do a consultation directly with myself or my office. So the website is Ask Dr. Ernst. I think it might be below possibly on the screen. AskDrErnst.com/consultation. What you'll do is simply click a link that takes you to a calendar where you can pick what time would you like me to call you. And of course, as you can imagine, you might load this page and say, well, there's no calls for 3 weeks. Well, that's pretty normal for us, but pick a time that's open. And I promise you, if you pick 1 o'clock on a Tuesday, I'm gonna call you at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. And that is how we can engage in a conversation of what should you do next.
All right, excellent. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you for being with us on Shabbat Night Live for the Word on Wellness. And we hope you join us again next time. Until then, Shabbat Shalom and Shavuot Tov.